What is the plan of your life? We are people who are prone to make plans. We make physical plans, but we must also make spiritual plans. The Apostle Paul expressed the direction of his life and the purpose of his life in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14 when he said, "For I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." This passage of Scripture speaks of urgency. This passage of Scripture speaks of fear. This passage of Scripture speaks of continuity. This passage of Scripture speaks of devotion. It was the purpose of the Apostle Paul that he would press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The apostle was willing to undergo any trial. He was willing to make any sacrifice in order that he might attain unto the prize to which God had called him. The apostle speaks of the calling of God. He says the high calling of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren." As the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he reminds them of their calling. God had called them. The church is a people who have been called of God. Surely we ought to be impressed with the sure knowledge that God has called us. He has invited us. God the Father, the high and holy Creator of heaven, has offered Himself unto humanity and has invited us to know Him and to share in the blessings of heaven. "For ye know your calling, brethren." As we live our life in the church of our Lord, we must know our calling. We must be reminded that God has called us. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, called us with a holy calling. The calling of God is a holy calling, an unblemished, untarnished, unstained calling. The calling of God is a sincere calling. He has called because He had the desire to call. He desires that we hear His call and that we answer that call. Hebrews 3, verse 1, "Partakers of the heavenly calling." This is not an earthly calling, therefore it cannot be diminished. The calling of God is a heavenly calling. God is a heavenly being, and therefore He has called us to be a part of that heavenly being. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling." We are to be worthy of the calling that God has offered unto us. As we hear the call of God and as we answer the call of God, we are to make sure that we are worthy of that call. We are worthy because of the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the compassion of God. Ephesians 4, verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye are called." Paul wants the church at Ephesus, as all Christians must, walk worthy of the calling of God. We must live our life in a manner that is worthy of this holy calling, this high calling, this heavenly calling. This is an unusual calling. This is a blessed calling. We are to walk worthy. We are to live in an acceptable manner. We are to conduct our lives so that God is pleased that He has called us and that He has offered us this immense blessing of life. 2 Peter 1, verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail." We are to make certain of our calling. We are to make certain that the calling is of God. We are to make certain that we have heard the right calling. We are to make sure that our calling is of God. We are to make certain that we are walking in a manner that is acceptable unto God and pleasing unto God. We are to make certain that we are walking according to the divine instructions of this calling. And so Paul presses toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The apostle speaks of the prize of the calling. The calling offers a prize. God presents us with a reward if we will hear His calling, and if we will walk in a worthy manner. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 25, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." In these verses of Scripture, the Apostle Paul compares life to a race that is being run. There is involved in this race a commitment, a temperance, a sacrifice, and there is a prize that is offered. In a physical race, there is preparation made to run the race. There is a denial or a sacrifice that must be made so that this race can be run acceptably and triumphantly. There is a prize that is offered unto the winner of the race. The apostle says that those who run in a physical race run all, but only one will receive the prize. The prize, the crown, is given to the winner of the race. They run to obtain a corruptible crown. Over time, that crown will tarnish. That crown will diminish. That crown will fade. It may be that that crown will even be forgotten. But we run so that all may obtain, and we run so that we might achieve an incorruptible crown. The apostle says that the high calling of God offers an incorruptible prize. This prize will not fade over time. It will never diminish in its value. Ephesians 1, verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." The apostle speaks of the hope of His calling. There is a hope in the calling of God. Every human ear that hears the call of God, and every human heart that responds to the call of God, is blessed with hope. We have an expectation of the inheritance in the saints. The prize of the high calling of God is an inheritance that is given by God. We become the heirs of God. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. This is the prize of the calling of God. We have been begotten as heirs through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have in our possession the sure knowledge of an inheritance if we respond to the calling of God and walk in a manner that is worthy of God. The apostle says that this inheritance is incorruptible. It will not die. It will not vanish. It will not terminate. It is undefiled. It has no stain nor tarnish. It fades not away. The brightness of the inheritance of God will be as grand and as marvelous on that first day and as it continues throughout eternity. It is reserved in heaven for you. The prize that God offers for his calling is a heavenly home in an eternal land where there is no fading away, where there is no diminishment in value. The apostle presses toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I press toward the mark. We must press with urgency. We must realize and understand the passing nature of life. We must understand and realize the enduring quality of the prize. James chapter 4 and verse 14 wrote these words, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. We do not know what tomorrow holds. Tomorrow may be a day of great blessing for us. Tomorrow may bring us the greatest sorrow that we have ever experienced. Tomorrow may bring to us the greatest joy that can be known. Or tomorrow could be the most enduring sorrow that we have ever experienced. We do not know what shall be on the morrow. The morrow may be a day of gain, or the morrow may be a day of loss. You know not what shall be on the morrow. Do you see the urgency of those words? Paul says, I press toward the mark. He presses with urgency, for he understands that he does not know what tomorrow holds or what any tomorrow may hold. For what is your life? What is my life? Do I consider my life? Do I take an account of my life? Do I consider my days? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. This passage of Scripture speaks of great urgency. Due consideration must be given to the present moment of life. Paul presses toward the mark. We must press with urgency. We must realize the passing nature of life. We must understand the enduring quality of the prize. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For he saith, God saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I comforted thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the moment that all of us possess and should cherish. We have no promise of future opportunity. We have no promise of continued time. Press with urgency. Press now toward the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do not delay. Do not wait. Do not procrastinate. Press now toward the prize. John 9 and verse 4, Jesus understood the life with urgency. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus knew that there was an end of the mission. There was a conclusion of the purpose. All of life will have a conclusion. All of our days will be brought to an end. Jesus speaks of His mission with urgency, understanding that now was the opportunity of which He possessed and to which He would give Himself to the purpose for which God had sent Him. In Matthew 21 and verse 28, Jesus said, "What thank ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' The son was sent to work in the vineyard today, not tomorrow. The vineyard may have been gone tomorrow. The vineyard may not have required labor tomorrow. The son was to go work today, now in the vineyard. We must press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God with urgency. We must press with fear. Hebrews 4 verse 1, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." The writer has spoken in chapter 3 of those who came short of the prize. The prize was the land that had been promised unto Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to their descendants. But there were countless numbers that had come short through unbelief. They had failed to live in the land. They had failed to be granted the prize. The writer therefore says, "Let us fear, lest the promise being left us, any one of us should come short of it." We must fear lest we come short of the prize. Hebrews 12, verse 28, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." There is to be within the heart of every person who hears the call of God a godly fear, a holy reverence for the Almighty, a recognition of who God is, what He is, the limitless power that He possesses, the untold and indescribable majesty that clothes Him. We come into the presence of God with the understanding that we are human, creatures of the dust, who can be terminated, whose end is final, before the God who is limitless in power, draped in majesty and glory. We come into His presence with reverence and godly fear. Matthew 10, 28, Jesus gave this warning to His disciples, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." Every day someone kills a body, but no one has the power to kill the soul. The soul is the enduring quality of humanity. The soul is the breath of God breathed into that lifeless body that is born unto eternity. Rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus says the God of heaven has the power to destroy. Fear Him because of that power. Stand in awe of Him. Come before Him with reverence and awe. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We are to work out our salvation. We are not to work out the plan of salvation, for the plan has been delivered by God. The authority comes from God for the plan of salvation, but we are to work out our salvation according to that plan with fear and trembling. We are to be mindful that the plan has divine authority and must be followed in every detail, with respect given to every law and commandment that has come from the mouth of God. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Noah had a respect of God that when God spoke, he would hear and he would do exactly as God said. Pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God with godly fear. Press with continuity. We must continue in our quest for the prize. We must continue to press each day, every day, all of our life, with the full strength of our being, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We must not be deterred. We must not turn from. We must not forsake. We must not forget. We must not deny. But we must continue to press. Colossians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. As Paul writes to the church in the city of Colossae, he says, you must continue, you must abide in the faith. God has delivered His faith by which humanity is to be submissive and obedient thereunto. We are to continue in that faith. We are to be grounded and settled in that faith so that the circumstances of human life and the destructive nature of this present existence upon the earth does not destroy that faith and that confidence, that assurance in God. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Do not be turned from the hope that is before you. Keep your eyes forever upon the hope. Press with continuance and abiding faith. Acts 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. The church was exhorted to continue in the faith, not turn from, not forget, not shun, but continue in the faith. There must be a continuance of faith, an abiding in the faith, a firm commitment unto the faith that cannot be unsettled, by which we move away from the faith. We must keep our eye forever upon the prize and press toward that prize with constant fidelity and commitment to the calling that God has presented unto us. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Young Timothy had been assured of the things that he had learned. We must be assured of our faith. We must know with absolute certainty of what we believe, why we believe, that to which we are committed, and the prize toward which we press. We must continue in what we have learned. We press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God with continuity. We press with devotion. In Acts 17 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul strolled the streets of Athens, and he said to those philosophers of that day and time, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions." These people in this ancient city had devotions. They were devotions of idols. They were devoted to that which could not see, which could not hear, which could not provide, and which could not answer. God has the power and the ability and the will to do all of those things. To what are we devoted? What is the commitment of our spirit in our journey upon this earth? Paul beheld the devotions of the Athenians. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, Paul turns the church at Colossae toward the devotion to which their life should be committed, to the full devotion of their heart. Such should be ours. If ye then be risen with Christ, and they had been, from the water of baptism, Colossians 2, 11 and 12, they had been risen in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 6, 3 through 5. If ye then be risen with Christ, if ye have been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The devotion of our heart is to be the prize of the high calling of God. The devotion of our heart is not to be earthly things, for earthly things diminish and tarnish and go away. The heavenly calling of God abides and continues. The apostle says, as risen disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, seek that which is above. Devote your heart to those things that are eternal. Matthew 6, 20, 21, the philosophy of Jesus presented to his disciples was, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where our treasure is where our heart is. If our treasure is earthly, then our heart is earthly. If our treasure is heavenly, then our heart is heavenly. Jesus said, as you journey in this life, as you live upon this earth, however long that may be, lay up, store up treasures in heaven, because those treasures cannot be taken, cannot be destroyed, and cannot be corrupted. What is the plan of your life? What journey are you now making? What call have you answered? For I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hear the call of God. Answer the call of God in loving, faithful obedience. Repent, confess, be immersed in water, and live your days upon the earth, pressing toward the eternal prize of heaven. We offer the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ as we stand and sing.